Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey everyone, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. I'm super excited today. I have the opportunity of having Sandra Yancey with me. Sandra, welcome to the show.
It's so great to be with you.
So for those of you guys who don't know Sandra, we actually met last year at her event, the eWomen Network, and she's the CEO, founder of the eWomen Network. Gosh, Sandra, you guys have literally multi-million dollar year business you're running now, 20 years in the making, have literally been crushing it for decades, and the great thing is you guys are multinational, so congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work.
Good things always
are. Success is hard, right, Dave? Success is really hard. But being broke is harder. So you just sometimes got to pick whichever bucket you want to live in. And it's hard.
Well, let's talk about how you basically overcome those hard times. Because I know a lot of people who are listening to this are either at that point where are just getting going and starting to scale, or during that scaling. I know for us at ClickFunnels, we've had to burn the company down a couple of times, it seems like, as you get to that next level. And with each new level brings on new devils. So let's kind of dive into this. And if you don't mind, kind of tell me, as you take a look at scaling businesses, you guys have now scaled for, over 20 years now. What are some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome and how have you done it?
Well, I love what you just said about burning the house down. I do think that being an entrepreneur and staying relevant is about kind of learning and then unlearning, then relearning, right? I mean, you're in this perpetual cycle. And for me, that's what's intoxicating about it. It's what gives me energy to keep going. I mean, it's all about the innovation and the reimagining and, being ahead and being willing to be first, I think is the big thing. I think we're always wanting to see if we can always follow what somebody else is doing. And, I think Jeff Bezos, I read a quote, he said, it's okay if people have their eyes on us while they mimic us. We are keeping our eyes on the customers and paying attention to their attitudinal changes, their technology changes, their buying changes, and we're shifting. And so I think ultimately that's the biggest lesson in being a leader is you have to be willing to go first. So, it's about looking at what the opportunities are. I like to go to various different conferences that aren't even necessarily relevant to me because I just want to see what our other people are doing. And then I say, well, how do I not adopt it and copy it, but adapt it to my environment, my customer base, and be first to market? I think that you don't have to always be first. You just have to look at how to make things better. Sarah Blakely, certainly with Spanx, a billionaire with Spanx, she certainly didn't invent girdles, right? She innovated them. And Jeff Bezos certainly didn't invent shopping, right?
Absolutely right.
He innovated it.
I think that innovation is one of the main things we're always looking at. I know that we talk a lot about this idea as far as funnel hacking, and I appreciate how you made mention as far as it's not copying it. It's basically finding out what works and tweaking it and changing it to really adapt to, again, the idea as far as adopting what was working, adapting it to your own market, to your marketplace. And then most importantly, from there, taking it and scaling it to, as you made mention, as far as Jeff's obviously done that with Amazon. Sarah's been crushing it with Spanx and some of the things she's been doing. As you take a look at, in your business and some of the people who are a lot of the eWomen Network that you guys have, what are some of the things that they're doing these days that are cutting edge and are helping them get to that next level? Again, we've got a brand new decade and people are always trying to find out what works these days.
Well, I think it all starts with, what is your, what we call internally, you're so big. In other words, you're not just big, you're so big. Like Beyonce isn't big. She's so big, right? So what is your version of so big? What does that really look like? What questions should be asking? What signals should you be leery of? I always talk about that small talk that yells really loud in your head, right? And your small voice has a really big goal, and that's to keep you in your smallness, right? So, what are the things you need to be worried about or leery about, not to stop you, but to make sure that you stop it from getting in the way of you moving forward, right? So I think it's about, you know, having that so big vision, surrounding yourself with other big thinkers. The conversation is different at the table. You cannot build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. So knowing that, giving yourself the acknowledgement that you deserve a seat at the table, and sometimes it's just to listen, right, so that you can learn, right, what you need to tear down or rebuild up or expand on or transform. And then, you know, it takes action. My big quote for the year is, I don't have a word of the year. I have a quote for the year. And my word is that action is the enemy of thought. And I think sometimes people think about things and talk about things so much that they actually think they're doing it, you know? And it's really about actions. I mean, the word alone, ACT, you know, to me is an acronym for action changes things. And I think we get into procrastination and wanting things to be the perfect, you know, so perfect that we miss our window of opportunity. You know, we're waiting for confidence. And I always say, you know, be courageous, because confidence is a consequence of being courageous. It comes when you're courageous enough to take a risk or take a step. It's never the disaster we, you know, fantasize that it could be. It never is.
So as you take a look right now with eWomen Network, what are some of the so big things you guys are looking at that you're going to be changing and working on to scale your own company right now?
So one of the things that we're doing is we're looking at where in the world, for us, not just the United States, but where in the world are there you know, valid statistics around the growth of entrepreneurs. So it's big in Australia, and we just opened up Australia. It's huge in the United Kingdom. We opened up the United Kingdom. We are interviewing managing directors now for India. I mean, it's really about where is your ideal customer? Not just who is your ideal customer, but where are they, right? You have to sell the way your customers buy. So you have to put yourself in a position to reach them. And then you have to have the automation, and that's what I love about ClickFunnels, to speak to them when it's convenient to speak to them. So, you know, if we're opening up another country and we're 12 hours apart, it's 9 o'clock at night for me when it's 9 o'clock in the morning for them, what am I doing to make sure that I'm available to them? You know, I think of my website as the vice president of business development. It's there when I can't be, when I'm either taking care, self-care of myself, or I'm with my family, or I'm sleeping, or I'm at another networking event, or I'm speaking, or whatever that might be. The next best thing is my website. What I love about her is that she works 24/7, 365. You know, she needs a little virus, you know, vaccine every now and then to be taken care of. But for the most part, you know, she doesn't complain and she's fully operational at her best. And so are you having juicy opt-ins that people can get some free downloads from you so they can really, they've heard about you, but now you want them to not just hear about you, now you want them to start to really identify and like your point of view, your narrative. So are you giving them your position around your business that separates you from other people in your space? Because those people, those leads, if you will, become your prospects, right? And now you can launch nurture campaigns, right? And speak to them in their language, collect data now so that you're not treating all of the people in your database with the same email. Why would I send an email about the top 10 things you should do to start your business when I've got a customer that's looking at me that's been in business for 10 years, right? So if you're gathering some information on the front end about, you know, their demographics, who they are, where they are, and then you have automated campaigns, if you will, or emails to let them, to serve up information that matters to them, right? They're more likely then to ultimately transact business with you.
I appreciate that. I know it's one of the main things we're always looking at as far as that whole follow-up sequence and that nurture campaign. Yeah. We always talk about for every dollar that comes in the front end, there's typically 16 to 17 on the back end if you nurture that campaign.
Gary, how hard we work for those opt-ins.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then people will unsubscribe just like that. So it really is about giving them the information that they want and not treating your database as all the same. You can make a lot of money with a smaller database, well automated. You know, you don't have to have 500,000 like I do, but the more engaged your list is really the measure. You know, are they opening your emails up? Are they paying attention? And sometimes, you know, you just don't know. There, you know, we test ours. So, I mean, before I launch a really big email campaign, I'll take a pocket of different email addresses and try 3 to 4 different subject lines and see which one has the highest open rate. And then I go for the mass. I mean, why wouldn't you want to slow down to get a bigger return? I think we move so fast that we trip over ourselves. You know, we're stepping, you know, over big money to make little money.
I completely agree with you. We've seen that happen so often that I think the hardest part for most people is understanding that if you actually will take the time to know who your client is, really identify that avatar, and then really follow up in the way they want to be followed up with. And sometimes it is through email. Sometimes it might be through Messenger, but I really customize that message.
Video. Yep.
Yep. And exactly. I think the as you take a look as far as your network, eWomen Network, I know one of the things you're passionate about is helping 1 million women create $1 million business, create $1 million in annual revenue. Right. What are some of the things you're doing right now to help create that and achieve that?
Well, what's important for us is that we're constantly in the mode of giving them the information and the tools that help them become successful. So we are much more than what you would consider a traditional networking organization. Yes, we have chapters, 118 of them. We do 1,500 events a year, the largest four-day business women's conference in all of North America. We do all of those things. But it's a combination, a dovetailing of the online and the offline. So we do all kinds of training. I built, you know, my database in the very beginning, being on ABC radio. This was way before podcasting. So now that I know that podcasting, I mean, I know the business really well, having closed, you know, hundreds of thousands of sponsors for my radio show, et cetera. And so, you know, I teach how, you know, what is podcasting? How do you leverage it? Why is this the fastest growing digital marketing channel there is right now? You know, how do you, what's the equipment? I mean, basically for $175, you're in business. How do you structure a call or a show? How do you get guests? How do you convert guests to then go get your juicy opt-ins? So now you have their email addresses and you can start loving on them with your nurture campaign. I mean, it's important to understand how you take something like podcasting and not it just be a standalone, but that it's integrated into a much larger branding and marketing strategy. So helping people understand why they do things and how it fits in with the larger picture, I think, is what we do really well, connecting the dots. Because there's just, you know, people are just doing, let me go get my logo and let me have somebody do my website. And somebody else is going to do my video and somebody else is going to do my messaging, and then understand why it's not working, because it's not all integrated.
Completely agree with you on that. As you take a look at podcasting, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that. We were talking the other day with another guest about the impact that podcasts are having in his audience and being very strategic in the podcasting business. A lot of people who are listening to this, it's one of those things, you know, podcast people listen to podcasts and blog people read blogs. A lot of podcasters are people who are listening to podcasts would always say, you know, gosh, I'd love to have my own podcast. There's no way. I just don't feel confident enough to get on or get started or anything like that. What are some of the things you've seen as you've been working with your own clients as far as creating a successful podcast?
So the first thing I would say is get out of your head.
Totally.
I mean, we just, it's that whole languaging, that internal dialogue of how we talk ourselves into things. You know, we often say, give me a sign. The signs are there, and then we dismiss them, right? I mean, to me, podcasting is the way to go. I actively seek out being a podcast guest. I just know it is a great mechanism for people who might have heard about eWomen Network or heard about Sandra, now you're listening to me talk. And some people may like what I say and some people may not like what I say. But the point of the matter is it's always a sorting process, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. You're just constantly fishing to find the people that are your ideal customer or client. And, you know, when you're podcasting, the very cool thing is, first of all, for women, you know, women get all caught up in, you know, I got to grow out my bangs or I want to lose 10 pounds. That's why they often don't do video. But podcasting, it doesn't have to be video. You can, but it doesn't have to be. And some of the best ones aren't on video because the leverage of podcasting is why people like it and why it's growing so fast is it's the one digital marketing channel where you don't have to stop like reading a Facebook page right. or LinkedIn or a blog. I mean, I download podcasts to listen on a plane, to listen in my car. I mean, it's got to be a signal when you look at car manufacturers now have a built-in button for just podcasts. If that isn't a signal of what's going on, right? And so the locomotive has left the station. There's still time to jump on. And the question is, are you going to watch it go by or are you going to jump on it? I just think, and you can start by just doing a 10-minute show and you can expand it into 15, 20, you know, up to 30 minutes, even 60 minutes. But you can start slow. You just need a structure. And, you know, I mean, we have our own podcast network at eWomen Network. So what we do is teach all the behind the scenes. We produce your show for you. If you're like, oh, I don't want to, technology is not my thing. I mean, don't talk yourself out of it. There's all workarounds, right? There's everything can be figured out if you approach everything as it can be figured out. I think what we do is we push away way before we've really truly understood, you know, the opportunity that exists in front of us.
I love that. I know Marie Forleo's recent book is all about that exact same thing. It's all
right,
everything can be figure-outable.
Right.
So figure things out.
Yeah, my mother raised me saying that. You know, it's all figure-outable, Sandra.
Yep.
It's a great word.
I know Marie's the same situation. Tell me, as you take a look at scaling your business, and obviously we talked already about going international things with the mm-hmm. events. I know events can be kind of a challenge for a lot of people. How have you found your events to be uber successful? Because you draw a lot of people, but the engagement at your events is, it's not a trade show. It's extremely impactful. So what are some of the things you're doing at your events to really connect and make sure that the connections are not only with you and the audience, but there's a ton of connection and networking inside of the audience itself?
So we facilitate it. I mean, what makes our event, our international conference, so hot is that, number one, I'm not coming with, let me teach you. I use the whole notion of what is it that you want to learn? And when you deliver, if you pay attention, I mean, I think that's the really cool thing. I think being a really great CEO is less about having all of the answers and more about having all of the questions. And listening. It's harder to listen than it is to talk, in my opinion. So, but we ask people, what is it that you're struggling with? If you could wave a magic wand and change one thing in your business that could change everything in your business, what is that? Getting them to hone in on not the symptoms, but what are the real things that they need? And then what we do is we deliver to that, right? We deliver to what, so I can say, you said you wanted to know this, and that's why I've got this expert here. That's why I've got this resource here, you know, and I also only promote resources that I've used, you know, and many resources I've been using since I started my business for 20 years. So it's not just a whim opportunity for me. I can stand on the stage and say, I am using this right now and have been, you know, so it's situations like that. It's also, I think, facilitating the conversation. I mean, you know, if you just plug, you know, on the stage while you're at lunch, sit with someone new and cover this question or this topic or ask this, then they do that. I mean, people welcome the idea to help, you know, create the meaningful dialogue and exchanges that occur at our event. And we just don't leave it to happenstance. We don't want people to talk about the parking, the weather, the whatever it is, right? We want them to talk about, we're not a girlfriend network. We are a business network, and we're not anti-male. We've got wonderful men in our network that are joining. We've got men that are in our Premier Success Coaches, men on our podcast network. You know, men offer really great products and services that can help move the dial for women-owned businesses. So I'll take a great idea from anyone, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I love it. Well, Sandra, we get kind of close to wrapping things up. What's the best way that people can get a hold of you?
The best way, honestly, is to go to ewomennetwork.com. And it's a pretty robust site, and it has all the ways that you can reach us based on whatever it is you need most right now.
Awesome. Well, Sandra, I appreciate your time. I love your experience. Your enthusiasm for what you're doing is awesome. I love just how contagious it is as well. So I appreciate your time. Again, look forward to seeing you at your event. So where are this summer?
It's going to be in Dallas, and it's July the 23rd, 24th, 25th with a great pre-con day all on digital marketing on July 22nd. Awesome. I can't wait to see you again.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.